It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into why the economic impact of divorce is more severe on women and a new study that examines the economic vulnerability. Now let's turn to our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio for an update. I'm here with Rick Ryer. Hi there, Rick.
Well, good morning, Kate.
Good morning to you. We're here to say Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. Your gift now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2023. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have something really special on this first day of December. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. This generous match is from current members, including a member in Sister Bay, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give.
It is fabulous, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a great opportunity, a great way to start the day, by the way, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know that Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality. That's why we've been here for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
And your contribution makes The Morning Show possible. It makes so many other programs possible as well. And when you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. So make a difference right now with your gift. It'll be matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our world does get more complex all the time. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language so you know how things will affect you.
And for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, we rely on your financial support. It is the largest source of our funding. And that's why we ask that if you've never given before, make your first ever contribution now. Say $10 a month or $120 during this year-end member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You learned a lot from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this year.
I learned that democracy is at risk, and I learned that I valued democracy.
I learned about a lot of neat places on Wisconsin life. Places I've since visited.
One of my favorite segments was the science of purring on Central Time. I always love learning cat facts.
Preserving my garden vegetables from this lady who was so passionate about preserving garden vegetables. She made me fired up.
Here's one more fact before the year ends. The largest source of funding for the news, conversations, and music on WPR is listener support. Your support. Now that you know, make your year-end contribution for WPR. Here's how.
Here's how, indeed. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible each day. And so your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And in addition to you being able to choose the amount of your gift, giving to WPR is really simple. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference. And we have that match, by the way, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 is happening.
Add some zeros there, Rick.
There you go. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And show off your public radio pride over a game of euchre or Go Fish with WPR playing cards. Oh my gosh, I love these playing cards. I have like several packs.
Available
today only while supplies last when you make a gift of any amount in support of WPR programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Heard from Shay in Delavan says, I appreciate the great local programming WPR offers. Case in point, morning show and central time, Shay says. Steve in River Falls appreciates WPR presenting fair, objective information. Your gift now, so important, WPR.org, and thank you. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now, researchers have established that divorce is a greater financial risk to women. A new study in the Journal of Family and Economic Issues, it traces Wisconsin mothers' employment, its earnings, economic circumstances in the years leading up to a divorce, compares them with the outcomes of fathers. Join in on the economics of divorce. Call in at 800-642-1234. Tricia Shonda is a doctoral candidate in consumer behavior and family economics at UW-Madison, author of this report. Tricia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes, good morning. So you study the economic well-being of divorcing mothers in Wisconsin. What does your research show?
So my research broadly shows that mothers have been making a lot of strides in the labor market, and things have improved a lot since the 1960s. But even now, mothers remain economically more vulnerable than fathers going into divorce. And actually, something that's beyond the scope of the study that you're talking about, in my other research, I've seen that this effect is persistent even after divorce. So family shocks like divorce have a greater economic impact on women than men, especially their mothers.
Why is that? What are the circumstances you see that lead to the financial instability leading up to the divorce?
So I think extant research really points to two main reasons for why divorce impacts women differently than men, especially their mothers. And both of these reasons are rooted in traditional family roles. So if it's a traditional family where men are the breadwinners or they are employed or make more money than women in the marriage, and women's labor force participation is lower before the divorce, then it makes it hard for them to increase their participation after the divorce occurs, and it makes it hard for them to catch up with where men are at after divorce occurs. And the second one is mainly true for mothers, especially if there are children, then, and we know that children, like childcare, remains a very gendered activity even to this day. So if you have children, children are more likely to live with their mothers after divorce. So you need greater amounts of resources if you're the custodial mothers than if you're the non-custodial father. And also if you're a divorced mother looking after your children, your opportunity to participate in the labor market is lower because you have to balance work and family, which becomes tougher if you're divorced.
And so even if both both spouses are employed, and as you say, the man is the breadwinner, men out-earn women, and that means women at the time of divorce lose more than half of the household income they had when they were married. That is a big loss. What is that ripple effect?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So when we think of financial gains from a marriage, this generally occurs through something which we call economies of scale in the literature. This basically means that if you're living together, you can pool your resources and end up spending less than you would have if you were to maintain two separate households. When you divorce, this economies of scale is lost and you lose all the resources, financial and otherwise, that your partner was bringing into the household. Now, in theory, a divorce only occurs if the benefit from breaking up exceeds that from staying together. But if you were to consider only the financial aspect of it, this most commonly translates into losing out on household income, which is much higher for women, as you correctly pointed out. The ripple effects are really, it's not just limited to income, but there are also like steep losses in personal wealth, especially wealth held in the form of houses or mortgage, like, you know, assets. Mm-hmm. And it takes longer for women to recover that kind of wealth than men. There are also racial differences. So with Black men and women, they lose out much more than white men and women. And women lose more than men after a divorce occurs. Like, I'm talking about losing in terms of losing household income.
What about alimony and spousal support? What impact does that have on divorcing mothers' finances?
So I am not an expert in alimony because that's not really a public policy. And I studied public policies like child support. Uh-huh. I won't know a lot about how alimony really affects economic circumstances of mothers. In the data that I study, alimony really it makes up a very small component of mothers' total income. Mm-hmm. Child support, if mothers receive that, then child support is a much more significant component of their income. It's very helpful to mothers if they receive it. But at the same time, the child support system is riddled with a lot of issues. So child support is often it is not paid in full. Mm-hmm. Or even in part. And if the non-custodial father is not able to pay it, some punitive action is taken against the father, but nothing is really done to ensure that the mother, like the custodial family, the mother and the child, is receiving the money that they are owed. It's just the non-custodial father who is being, held accountable. But mm-hmm. if they don't have the ability to pay, suppose the way the child support amounts are determined, they're not often very supportive of fathers, or they don't take their income into account the way that it should.
Well,
the orders are often. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to just pause right there with Tricia Shanda, doctoral student studying women's employment and economic well-being and divorce. Join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Almost half of all marriages in the U.S. end in divorce. We look at the economic toll on women. Now let's get an update on our year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm with Rick Ryer. We're here to say you count on WPR for these fascinating discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference this year and as we head into 2023 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Sister Bay. Now think about this. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. It's magical. It's magical like the conversations you hear every morning on The Morning Show. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're exploring some really interesting scholarly economic research published in a journal, and we keep a close eye on what is coming out of academia. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And support the programs you count on. Become a sustainer. Make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card.
And month after month, you'll be supporting the programs that you love, and that will feel great. So pick an amount that works for you, say $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I've been a member since 1978, as far as I can remember, when I graduated college, and I realized I better start paying everything back for which I owe, and more than just my parents. There's a whole lot of things for which I think I needed to pay. I'm a member, and I dare you to find me any reason not to contribute. I'll bet you can't find a reason. I think it's a lot more important to find a reason to contribute.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in this year-end member drive. Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. The WPR programs that you enjoy, they're possible thanks to your support. Your contribution of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference for our entire community.
There aren't that many important things that you can accomplish in just a few minutes. You can't win a Super Bowl, learn to play musical instruments like the drums or something like that, or read a library full of books. These are things that take years of preparation and practice. But you can make a difference in just a few minutes when you make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And WPR is such an important part of the fabric of society and the fabric of Wisconsin. You hear news you can trust. You enjoy these statewide conversations. You appreciate music and entertainment. So it's a part of your world. It's a part of your life. Take just a few minutes when you make your gift of any amount at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Get in on the match, and thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now, women are disproportionately affected by pay gaps, delayed career trajectories, as we've been talking about, family responsibilities. It's all highlighted recently by the World Economic Forum, flowing into financial vulnerability in divorce, which is the focus of a new report on divorcing mothers in Wisconsin. Join in 800-642-1234. We have UW-Madison doctoral student Tricia Shonda, who researches women's employment and economic well-being, stays with us. Let's go to Brooke in Eau Claire. Brooke, hi. What is your story?
Hi. Thanks for having me. I understand the data that your guest is discussing, but we need to remember not to be sexist or biased right now. My brother is actually dealing with a divorce right now, and he was not the breadwinner and actually is dealing with health issues, too. So he's relying on her insurance. And this is coming from someone who doesn't even want to see her kids anymore either. So we have to remember not to just think that this is just affecting women. Can you please do research into men as well?
Brooke, thank you for that. Tricia, go ahead.
Yeah, Brooke, thanks for that comment. And I by no means mean to suggest that men are not worse off. This is just on we're talking about averages. And in fact, recent research has shown that it's not like, I mean, in previous decades, it was shown that on average, men used to be better off financially after a marriage dissolved. But recently, research has also been showing that men do become financially worse off after divorce occurs. But on average, the effects are still more severe for women. And I completely sympathize with your brother and what he's going through. And actually, the things that I was talking about with the child support system, it's really unfair to men. And we definitely need more policies that support men through this process of a divorce and maintaining a family after a marital, like maintaining contact with their children and helping them support their children after a marriage dissolves, because that's not just to the benefit of men, but also to the benefit of the children and the custodial family as well.
Brooke, thank you for the call. Tony now in Sturgeon Bay. Tony, what's on your mind?
Well, good morning. I'm part of that 50% that got divorced after 6.5 years of marriage. And I know my ex-wife's lifestyle took a hit after we got divorced, but at the same time, she is a college-educated woman who never chose a career path. And I'm curious to know if the guest feels that because of the lifestyle that she grew accustomed to for 6.5 years, should that automatically qualify her for maintenance or alimony for the rest of her life? Because there were certain choices she made professionally that she chose never to pursue a career path. And does that
Yeah, Tony, thank you. I think we're understanding, I think, the situation. Tricia, what is your response there to women making decision choices in that marriage beforehand about whether they work or not?
Yeah, so as I was saying previously, that whether women work before the marriage dissolves matter a lot for whether they end up working or maintaining earnings or their lifestyle after a marriage dissolves. If a woman chooses to not work, then it's harder for them to get into the labor force and like maintain a lifestyle with the household income that they had before the divorce on their own after the marriage dissolves. As I was saying, I am not an expert on alimony or maintenance payments, so I don't want to comment on that.
If there's one thing perhaps, what Wisconsin lawmakers could do to alleviate the financial strains of divorce, particularly for mothers, as you look at the data, what could be done?
So I think the main thing that should be done is to make families more equal and make policies that allow people to balance work and family, like paid family leave and flexible scheduling. Actually, Wisconsin is actually on a good path right now with respect to making families more equal. Shared custody rates are the highest in Wisconsin among all the states in the United States. So it's more common to have your marriage dissolve with children staying part-time with both parents rather than just one parent. And that's a great step forward. But we need to have more policies like this, like legal norms, which do not make presumptions on the basis of sex and also don't discriminate in the workplace against women and mothers.
Tricia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Tricia Chanda is a doctoral candidate in consumer behavior and family economics at UW-Madison, recently published an article looking at divorcing mothers in Wisconsin. We have a link to it over on our program page at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We size up the surf season in Sheboygan. Yes, to winter. We have a longtime surf shop owner. Now let's join our year-end member drive that is riding on listeners who become members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rick Ryer is with me. We're here to say your support is vital to all the programs in WPR. It's the largest source of funding. So take a few minutes now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Well, you know, Kate, we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on right now, up to $2,500. It's in effect right now. This is your opportunity to ride the wave and we're getting there this morning. Yeah. Ride the wave and get your contribution matched. That would be doubled every dollar that you give. Right now, we have just over $1,000 to meet that match. That is incredible. Thank you so much for your support. It's a great opportunity to give right now. Because current members, including a member in Sister Bay, will double every single dollar you give. Double the impact of your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Perhaps one of the reasons you enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio is because you know that you'll hear thoughtful programming. And whether it's a news story that's carefully researched or a talk show guest chosen to share something unique about Wisconsin, you count on a quality experience every time you tune in.
And we're so grateful that you care about quality because we do too. And it's your financial support that makes everything you hear on WPR possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, WPR being one place where that's true every day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
It's kind of hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to be $60 a month, and you can make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time. We're driving 14, 15 hours a day sometimes all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Join Bruce, give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is the year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you depend on, and it's why your gift of, say, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
There are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network. You rely on these discussions, and that's why your gift during our year-end member drive is so important.
And help us put a strong finish on 2022 so we can continue to discuss the issues in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have just over $400 to raise yet to make that match of $2,500. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
I want to just give a shout out to sustainers, because if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. And thank you so much for your support. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent as we explore the surfing community on the Great Lakes and what freshwater surfing breaks are like with Mike Miller, who owns a surf shop in downtown Sheboygan. First surf shop in Wisconsin, by the way. Join in on your epic surf sessions on the Great Lakes, or how to create epic surfing. If you haven't done it, 800-642-1234. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on.
So the surf forecast site says the water in your neck of the woods in Sheboygan is around like 40 degrees. How do you surf in frigid water?
The right gear helps. Wetsuits, boots, gloves. There isn't usually a month goes by on the lakes here you're not in some type of wetsuit. But that's actually still pretty mild yet. The air temps are in the 30s and 40s. When things start dropping below 30, that's when, you know, it gets a little more interesting, but it's still pretty mild. You could do a lot with modern day wetsuits and gear.
Okay. So, you know, what's it like to surf in a storm? What are those conditions like that you're really looking for on Lake Michigan?
Well, in Sheboygan in general, we're in the middle of the lake, so we can get swell off of north or south winds, and that's primarily what we're looking for is winds. We need wind storms. We need the wind to create the waves, but we don't always want it when we're surfing. It's not like we want to surf in 30-mile-an-hour winds. Sometimes it just happens. Ideally, like, you want the wind to pick up, travel up and down the lake, and then that creates the waves. And then you want it to kind of shut down, and finding a good clean wave is kind of half the battle on the lakes here. But everything is wind generated.
And you have to really monitor the waves and the forecast pretty closely, you know, on those. You have a near shore wave forecast and live stream cameras. How attuned do you have to be to the changing weather conditions in order to have a good surf session?
Definitely. You're almost like an amateur forecaster. I mean, you're more attentive to weather patterns and wind and low pressure systems more than you ever have been if you become a lake surfer, because again, it's all about what type of wind is going to come, and that's usually associated with some type of system that comes over. Where on the ocean, you know, they get a lot of ground swell, so it could be predicted, you know, a week out sometimes, and they can actually predict when the swell is going to hit its peak, and it's a little bit more, I don't want to say easier, but on the ocean, but it's definitely a little bit more challenging on the lakes. And again, it's about finding clean, good surf. There's days where, you know, there's 10 to 14 foot waves on the lake, but the wind's blowing 35 miles an hour and it's blowing right on shore. And it's, you know, there's waves, but they're not really surfable. So finding that those ideal conditions. So you become like an armchair forecaster there, like, you know, almost like the armchair quarterbacks. And you kind of try to figure out what, you know, where to go, the spot to go, the where it's going to be, when the peak is. And so it actually makes it more interesting, in my opinion.
I love your slogan about being, you know, the Malibu of the Midwest and freshwater surf capital of the world. What makes Sheboygan a great surf town?
I mean, first and foremost, the community. You know, I grew up and I was born and raised here. I didn't start surfing until I was in almost 30 years old. So it was probably about 18 years ago I started surfing, and the shop's been around going on 25 years. And, you know, the community kind of like, it's always been there since like the early 60s. And there's still a couple of the guys that still surf. And it's, you know, a lot of people come and go and a lot of new people getting into it. A lot of people travel to Sheboygan. But I mean, we do get good, clean waves, mostly because just the way our beaches are and our big piers that stick out. And that's what really, like tomorrow, there's going to be a big south swell coming through. So there's going to be, I bet you, more people from Milwaukee area and Chicago area coming into town than even locals. But again, the local crew is, you know, that's we accept anybody coming in, and
you accept
localism.
Some outsiders, yeah, once in a while,
right?
So will you work tomorrow or will you surf?
I'm probably gonna go out surfing. I'm gonna see what the we also kiteboard, so if the conditions work well for kiting, which is, you know, wind generated, but we also ride waves with kites. If it's the right conditions, the kite, we'll probably even try that. Do both. I mean, it's a great spot for both. And Sheboygan, like I said, we get these good, clean conditions that produced by our peers that stick out, because it creates a protection from the excess wind and cleans the swell up. And it's just a great spot. We have great beach access. Our beaches are awesome. You don't have to pay to come and, you know, park by our beach. So
let me reintroduce you a moment. Mike Miller with us as we talk about Great Lakes Surfing, owner of a surf shop, ES Paddle and Surf Shop in Sheboygan. Join in 800-642-1234. I want to get a little bit more into freshwater versus the ocean. You mentioned the ocean. And of course, the biggest difference is salt, right? And I'm just wondering, does the lack of salt in our freshwater Great Lakes and, you know, impact what it's like to surf? I mean, because I'm thinking of the buoyancy of salt, right?
Definitely. And it does make a slight impact. It's, you know, ocean waves can be a little bit stronger too. We get a little bit of a weaker wave. The shape can be a little bit different, but it depends on where it's at and where it's breaking. That's kind of all dependent. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, we're on a lake. So the fresh water has a little bit less buoyancy. The waves have a little bit less power. What we call the period in between the waves sets. So since it's a wind swell and the fetch is which the distance the wave travels is less than on the ocean, the swell periods are closer together, meaning like when you're paddling out, you just kind of get bombarded with waves sometimes. So it's like the ocean, they're spread apart farther. So the ocean, an example, could be like 10 to 15 second intervals where we get more like 3 to 5 second intervals. So that's the timing between the wave sets.
I would imagine that's a little bit difficult to navigate for a newbie. Do you have any advice for people who want to start surfing the Great Lakes?
Just get out there. Come out and do it. Like, you know, it's be prepared and just remember it is just a lake. It's all about having fun. And like our lake is in our backyard. So the shop is a couple blocks from the lake. I live a couple blocks from the lake. You know, on a big day, you can open up the windows, you can hear the waves roaring. And just getting out there, it doesn't have to be a tropical, you know, setting to go out and surf. You know, it's right in our backyard and there's a lot of things you could do on this big lake and that's what makes it fun. And any of the Great Lakes, there's surf all up and down these Great Lakes and there's a lot of good spots and there's a lot of surf communities just like our own.
You mentioned the surfer community and I admit I'm into Surfer Dan, like millions of people after watching the video of him and his ice spear. Do you have any Surfer Dan story moments or do you know him?
He actually came to the shop a few years back with some of the crew. That's the only time I've really met him.
Yeah.
I've been up to Marquette area. The ice beard thing is this fabled thing. It's funny and it's cool. Some of us don't have beards, so we don't get the ice on them. So we don't have the cool pictures. But, I mean, again, it's all about surfing. I mean, the whole winter surfing scene is, we still do it. And there's actually more people doing it than we realize. Fall is like our best time. You know, the water's still warm. We get some good waves. The fall is, in my opinion, is still the best time to go. Water's warm, air's cold, and that's what creates a good wave for
us. You make a good case. I do want to switch gears here and talk about climate change, though, for just a moment, because, you know, with the warming planet and scientists saying the Great Lakes regions are seeing, more frost-free days, we also have the algae blooms and water pollution. What is the impact on surfing?
Definitely. Like, so in probably less than a 10-year span, I want to say I saw 2012, 2013, the lake levels dropped to unbelievable levels. I don't know if it was a record, but like we saw a drop 5 to 6 feet in like a matter of years. Fast forward a few more years later in 2019, we had the highest level I've seen since I've been around here. The lake level came up about 5 to 6 feet and shorelines were getting eroded. We had no beaches and that affects surf spots. And so that was weird. That was like, we saw like, you know, giving back some surf spots, taking away, but the lake levels and like that drastic change. And now the lake levels are dropping again. In the last couple of years, they dropped well over 2 to 3 feet. And it seems like even the last month or two that the lake levels dropped probably like 6 to 8 mm-hmm. inches. So the beaches are coming back. Not necessarily the best thing because, you know, it is affecting some of our, when the water level drops and the waves go over those sandbars or certain spots, it can make some spots unsurfable because it's too shallow or there's a lot of sand deposits in certain areas that weren't normally there. But you're seeing that and you're seeing it all happen faster now. If somebody doesn't believe in climate change, I mean, I could show you a timeline of pictures of like, wow, this happened in under 5 to 6 years where you're seeing a difference of, you know, then they talk about the lake the lakes have this 10-year cycle. Well, now it seems like it's happening even in half that time, where high levels to low levels are it's exasperated.
Mike, thank you for joining us and sharing the surfing community.
Definitely.
Mike Miller owns EOS Paddle and Surf Shop in Sheboygan, been in the business since 98. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it's the year-end membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2022 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can join that dollar-for-dollar match right now from current members, including a member in Sister Bay. We have just $100 to raise to meet that match. Take advantage of the match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What's that saying about how we love to have fun as well on our show? Well, you know, surfing is just a conversation, but it's also so interesting to understand the community that lives here in Wisconsin. You know, we're a lively state, a lively place, and we really like to catch that spirit here on our program. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
You know, there is a sense of irony, though, that one of Wisconsin's winter sports is surfing. It's great. It was a great conversation. It kind of interests me to at least check it out.
WPR. I think you should totally do it.
Okay. We could do that. Yeah, totally. What is not, where there is no irony, though, is that WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Ask for WPR playing cards when you donate any amount today. Traditional card decks celebrating the natural beauty of Wisconsin's wildlife. Show off your love for WPR while playing your favorite card games. Available today only for your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Your support in this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it up at, that is the right amount.
You know, I've got some great news, Kate.
Okay.
This is amazing. Thank you to current members, including a member in Sister Bay, for the challenge that this hour, which we have met
awesome.
Because of you. Your support made it happen here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's keep up that momentum. If you've never made a gift to WPR before, become a member right now and power the news, talk, and music that you rely on with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love. Rick, take it away.
All right. Support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for your WPR playing cards. This traditional card deck featuring illustrations of Wisconsin wildlife is yours with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Step up right now because this gift is only available today while supplies last. Mary in Norwalk says, I learn so much and enjoy music, laughter, and information that I can trust. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.